Thank you, Sandra. If you leave your Bibles open, we'll be looking at that in a few moments. Before we do, let's just come before God in prayer. We thank you, Father, for your word. And we know that in it are the secrets to life. We've seen in your word how it is a double-edged sword, able to penetrate into our deepest recesses. We pray, Lord, as we unpack your word tonight, that you'll speak through me, give me the words to say, and soften our hearts and our minds to hear what you are saying to us tonight. As we focus on you and your cross, show us, as it's already been prayed by one of our brothers, just how much that cost you and how much we owe you for all that you've done for us. And for all that you continue to do in our lives. Move amongst us, Lord, through your Spirit. Soften our hearts and open our ears, we pray. Amen. Now, Shirley and I, as some of you may know, are members of the National Trust, which I know has had some bad press recently about gay rights and fox hunting. But for now, we're sticking with it because if you're not a member of an organisation, you can't have a vote to change it. And that could also be seen as a reminder to get your name down on the church membership form if you haven't already done so. You can see Shirley afterwards about that if you wish. But for now, the point of our National Trust membership is that Shirley and I love looking round historic houses. And we never miss a chance to visit one if we're away and there's one nearby. So a couple of years ago, we went to London for a special birthday treat. And whilst there, we couldn't resist paying a visit to Buckingham Palace, the ultimate historic house. I don't know if any of you have been or not, but you really should if you get a chance to visit London in the late summer. And we're going to show some slides now of some of the things we saw on that visit, which will help focus your minds on what we saw. As we entered the palace itself after a few security checks, we were shown the amazing entrance hall, which you can see there, called the Ambassador's Entrance, where all the heads of state and visiting royalty go in to see the Queen. You might have seen that entrance, although you didn't know you had, but you might have seen it recently. If any of you saw this week, or perhaps last week, people receiving their knighthoods or their OBEs or their MBEs or whatever, that was all filmed just the other side of those pillars. People came out with their medals and their certificates, and they were all filmed outside that very entrance. Now, that entrance in itself was quite amazing, with its red carpeted steps leading up to the grand hall with its marbled fireplace and marbled statues, which you can see there. But then, to the tune of Handel's Entrance of the Queen of Sheba, we were shown up the grand staircase with its gilded, ornate banisters and even more red carpet into the great throne room itself, with more sumptuous carpets, crystal chandeliers, ornate decorations, not to mention the antique furniture and the amazing paintings. Wow. By this time, our jaws were nearly on the floor. What an amazing sight it was. It really does take your breath away to see the two thrones beckoning at the far end of the hall. Now, if that sense of awe and wonder was present when the Queen herself wasn't even there, just imagine how much more awesome it would have been if she was actually there to give you some award, like those who I spoke about earlier, those who received their knighthoods and their OBEs recently. Whatever you think of the system and some of the people that received them, you may not have thought the Queen would have wanted to see, but there they were, outside the palace, having received their awards. And tonight, as it says in the last verse of the reading we've just heard, we come not to the empty throne of the Queen, not even to the throne with the Queen herself actually there to receive some earthly award, but to the throne of grace of the Lord God Almighty. If we approach the throne of Queen Elizabeth with that sense of amazement, how much more should the throne of grace give us an overwhelming sense of awe and wonder as we approach it? Now, if someone had come to see the Queen, like Billy Connolly, in his scruffy gardening clothes, as you often see him, smoking a cigarette and swigging from a beer bottle, I'm sure they'd have been thrown out on the rear by the sergeant at arms. And in the same way, before we approach that throne of grace, we have to come with the right thoughts and attitudes. For as it says in verse 12 at the start of that reading, the Word of God, that powerful two-edged sword which we sang about in our first hymn, that judges our hearts, its thoughts and its attitudes. And these must be right before we break bread. For as it says in verse 13, nothing is hidden from God's sight. Everything is laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. The Word of God, whether you take that to mean the Bible, the revealed Word of God, or the living Word, the Lord Jesus, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, that Word is penetrating. Nothing is hidden from Him. Those sins which we hope no one knows about, the sins we can easily hide from other people, are laid bare before the Lord Jesus. And it's essential we examine ourselves before we break bread and confess those sins and repent, as it reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you had a tumour inside your body, and I know some of you have already gone through this horrific process. If you had a tumour inside your body, it's generally hidden from other people. It's hidden from you for a while before it starts to cause symptoms. No one looking at you with breast or bone cancer could tell if you had that disease. But a skilled surgeon with a very sharp knife can cut away at joints and marrow and tissue until he gets right to the root of the problem and removes the cancer. And so it is with us. The living Word of God is sharper than any surgeon's scalpel and can easily expose the cancer of our sin. Not only expose it, but like the skilled surgeon, can remove it. And the good news is that despite our sin and our constant failings, we can still approach the throne of grace. Because as it says in verse 14 of that reading, we have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus, greater than any earthly high priest, who can sympathize with us because he himself became like one of us and understands the trials and the temptations that we go through. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it says at the start of John's Gospel. Like us, he was tempted. However, he remained sinless. And as it says in verse 13, he was therefore able to offer that perfect sacrifice of himself on the cross in our place for our sin. As it said in one of the choruses we sang earlier, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, although he was innocent of crime, and he was cut off from the land of the living. He paid for the guilt that was mine. And that's why we should break bread regularly, to remember that one perfect sacrifice that he made for us. Not like the sacrifices that the priests of old had to make year after year to no avail, which it tells us about in Hebrews chapter 10. If you just turn over a few pages. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 11 says, day after day, this is under the old Jewish system, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But when this priest, meaning the Lord Jesus, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. There is the Lord, at the right hand side of the throne in heaven, rested from the work he did on the cross, and interceding for those who have put their trust and faith in him as their Saviour. If that's you tonight, you can, as it says back in chapter 4 and verse 16, approach the throne of grace with confidence despite your past sins. And that's why we break bread, to remember that. Those celebrities and VIPs who received their awards from the Queen could confidently enter Buckingham Palace because they had an invitation card which said they could approach the royal throne with the expectation to receive something. Tonight, we too, through faith, have an invitation to approach a much better throne, the throne of grace, which we can approach with confidence in expectation of receiving a far better reward than an OBE or even a knighthood. Look at what we can expect when we approach. Verse 15 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy, forgiveness for our sins, and find grace to help in our time of need. That undeserved love. We're going to sing about that before we actually break bread together. We're going to remain seated and sing number 937. Thank you for saving me. And verse 2 reminds us of what verse 15 reminded us, where it says, mercy and grace are mine. Forgiven is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Saviour of the world. Thank you for saving me. What can I say?